Beacon Audio presents Central America's Forgotten History, Revolution, Violence, and the Roots of Migration by Aviva Chomsky. This audiobook is narrated by Ida Relusco, published by Beacon Press Audio, 2020. Part 1. A Crisis with Deep Roots. Chapter 1. Invisibility and Forgetting. Central American migrants carry the inheritance of centuries of history, much of it forgotten or obliterated. Indigenous identities were suppressed in Nicaragua and El Salvador in projects of nation-building and the aftermath of repression. Activist and revolutionary projects have also been crushed, and evidence of massacres and violence buried. The United States has labored to erase its role in creating the crises in Central America. While historical memory projects struggle to recover histories, many Central Americans simply hope to survive or to escape. In the United States, Central Americans remake identities to adjust to their new context. Most U.S. Americans, even those who decry the abusive treatment of immigrants, remain blissfully oblivious to the histories migrants carry. What is memory? Different disciplines give different answers. For psychologists, memory may be individual, part of an individual's construction of self and identity. But memory is also collective. Societies and cultures preserve and create memory through oral traditions and religions, and through written records and shared commemorations and narratives. The way a society or group of people understands its past infuses its culture and the way people understand and act in the present. All memory is, in a sense, constructed. As individuals or as members of groups, we privilege some memories over others, and we create coherent and meaningful stories and understandings of our past and present out of fragments of memory. Forgetting is an inevitable part of memory. By highlighting, remembering, certain details, events, or interpretations, we erase or forget others. We forget because our individual and collective histories overflow with detail that would form a chaotic blur if we did not form them into coherent narratives. But when we rely on one narrative, we may be suppressing others. Historians think a lot about memory. We create memory by writing histories. We read primary sources from the periods we study, understanding that even though they are original documents or first-hand accounts, they still tell us only part of the story. Often the perspective of educated elites who are literate and control the resources to preserve and document their version of the past. We try to read them again, against the grain, to find clues as to what some of the invisible, unheard voices hidden within them might have to say. When we listen to individuals talk about the past, too, we know that their memories are selective and often shaped by things that may have happened after the incidents they are describing. Even two people who witnessed or participated in the same event may have very different recollections of it. Struggles over historical memory can be very political. History, we often hear, is told by the victors. The victors have every interest in justifying their own victory, celebrating their greatness, and decrying the misdeeds of the vanquished. They may suppress the language and the culture of those they vanquish in their attempts to suppress their memories. Many Americans are aware of clashes over historical memory with respect to World War II. Sometimes it's too simple to claim a clear distinction between victor and vanquished, and battles over who controls the historical narrative continue. Germany and Japan were defeated in World War II, but both of them are thriving, wealthy countries. Some of the leaders of their wartime regimes were punished, but others escaped or continued to hold political and economic power. The Jewish population of Eastern Europe was decimated, even if they were not officially on the losing side of the war. Who, then, were the winners and the losers? Who gets to tell the story? In Germany and elsewhere in Europe, the Holocaust is officially denounced, and apologies and reparations to Jewish survivors continue. In parts of Europe, Holocaust denial, forgetting, is a punishable crime. In contrast, survivors of Japanese atrocities are still struggling to have their stories acknowledged. Koreans and Chinese have protested the efforts of Japanese nationalists to deny wartime aggression or eliminate its mention from textbooks. Or another example. In Vietnam, the Americans lost the war, but it was the Vietnamese who suffered millions of deaths and whose country was destroyed. And the experiences of a population within a country are never uniform. Some Vietnamese fought with, and others fought against the Americans. Whether among the winners or the losers, official narratives may diverge sharply from open or suppressed memories of different people and groups. In Central America, forgetting is layered upon forgetting. Spanish conquerors slaughtered and enslaved indigenous people, prohibited indigenous religions, and denigrated indigenous cultures and languages. After independence in the early 1800s, European-oriented elites labored to construct national narratives that rationalized their own privilege and a version of progress that compounded it. Some called the century after independence the Second Conquest, as a new export economy based on coffee and bananas pushed peasants off their land and forced them into plantation labor. By the late 19th century, Central America's economies became tightly interwoven with U.S. investment, and U.S. political and military intervention followed. Resistance and rebellion were frequent, but brutally suppressed. By the 1920s, protests coalesced around politicized goals. In Nicaragua, Augusto C. Sandino led a peasant movement to drive U.S. occupiers out of his country. In El Salvador, communist leader Farabundo Martí organized urban workers, while indigenous peasants in the coffee region took up arms to regain control of their lands and villages. In Guatemala, a revolutionary government tried to reform the country's land and labor systems from 1944 to 1954. All of these uprisings were followed by fierce repression and by rewriting and forgetting. Forgetting can be a form of oppression and silencing, but silence can also be a form of protection and resistance. Guatemalan indigenous activist Rigoberta Menchú began her acclaimed 1983 testimonial by pondering the meanings of memory and of silence. She began by explaining the meaning of testimonial. "This is my testimony. I didn't learn it from a book, and I didn't learn it alone. My story is the story of all poor Guatemalans. My personal experience is the reality of a whole people." But at the same time that she insists on the importance of recounting her story, testimony, Menchú places a lot of emphasis on what she will not tell. Under fire and oppression, she suggests, some memories can be best preserved by hiding them. Menchú quotes the ancient Mayan text Popol Vuh, "Learn to protect yourselves by keeping our secret." Indians have been very careful not to disclose the details of their communities, she elaborates, and the community does not allow children to talk about Indian things. Parents must teach their children to keep the secrets of our people so that our culture and customs will be preserved. Parents recount tales of indigenous heroes who fought the Spanish, insisting, "Let no landowner extinguish all this, nor any rich man wipe out our customs. Let our children, be they workers or servants, respect and keep our secrets." We Indians have always hidden our identity and kept our secrets to ourselves. We know we must hide so much in order to preserve our Indian culture and prevent it being taken away from us. The secrets became inherent to what it means to be indigenous. They formed part of the centuries-long tradition of Indian resistance against Spanish control and nourished the community's clandestine organizing against the Ladinos and landlords who were dispossessing indigenous communities in the 1970s and 80s. As communities organized self-defense measures, Menchú wrote that, "No one must discover our community's secret now, compañeros. It's secret what we are doing here. The enemy must not know, nor must our other neighbors." When we began to organize ourselves, we started using all the things we'd kept hidden. Our traps, nobody knew about them because they'd been kept secret. Our opinions, whenever a priest came to our village, we'd all keep our mouths shut. This is why Indians are thought to be stupid. They can't think. They don't know anything, they say. But
sample complete. Ready to continue?